You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here for MLB.com Extras, taking you around the American League East. Some teams are headed home, other teams are heading on to October. Let's check in with all five teams in the division.
You know, when they came to Nashville, they brought everybody, and they really showed me how much they wanted me.
I'm just here to help this team win. We got guys in the bullpen that I feel like we could all close. I feel like our bullpen's that good.
I was going out of this offseason just to come in and have another good season. We have a balanced team. I think we had a little bit of everything. We had a long season. Hopefully, I don't cause any distraction. I'm planning winning this year.
Good play by Ramirez for out number two.
We've talked about Hanley and his transition to first base, and it's been a successful one so far defensively.
Sandoval is expected to miss the remainder of the 2016 season after undergoing that surgery today. If there's any silver lining for the Red Sox, it's certainly that Travis Shaw has done a phenomenal job for them.
A three-run blast for Travis Shaw. He has five RBI.
It is gone. A home run, David Ortiz.
The Red Sox are down to the last out, and it's up to Poppy.
Shout out to left center field. There's Marisa going back on the track. He can't get it.
And we are tied at five.
High fly ball right center field. Long, long, long run. He won't get it. And the Red Sox walk off with the win. David Ortiz, an extraordinary final season in the making.
Johnny Damon had a 29-game streak in 2005. Jackie Bradley's just joined him.
Xander cuts the lead in half, and he has a 26-game hit streak.
Mookie Betts with a three-home run game in Baltimore. He homered in the first, he homered in the second, and again here in the seventh. What a night for Betts. He himself has said it's time for David Price to pitch like the ace he's been, as it's cut on and missed. Cut on and missed. He struck him out. 1-2. He got him. He got him. He tied him up for his 10th strikeout. Price blows him away. And of course, this is the farewell tour for Big Poppy. So each city he's playing in for the last time, he gets out there and they give him a terrific gift. This time, Chris Sale brought out a humidor.
They did bring in reinforcements in Drew Pomeranz. What kind of pressure is he under?
We'll see what his pulse is like when he stands on the mound for the first time for the Red Sox.
Swings and misses. Down he goes for strike three, and that is strikeout number 10. Runner goes and has swung on and missed. He got him, strike three, and there's number 11, a new career high.
So Craig Kimbrel, the surgery was 3 weeks ago today, and he is back faster than anyone could have predicted.
Kimbrel locks it up, and the Red Sox win 2-1, and that's in there for strike three. Back-to-back K's, and 14 straight retired by Wright. Waved at and missed. Down he goes, strike three. Number nine. 1-2-3 they go. And a nice smile there from Stephen Wright. His fourth complete game of the season. Tied for the most in the major leagues.
Two-run homer, Mookie Betts. And Mookie hits another one to left field. It is gone!
Deep down the line, goodness. He crushed another one.
That's sick.
Mookie Betts with his second three-home run game of the season.
Promoting Benintendi will allow them to return Brock Holt to a super utility role, which is what he's probably best suited for. Enter Benintendi, number seven on the MLB Pipeline Top 100. He could do just about everything.
Down into the corner again. Benintendi near the wall, leaps. Did he catch it? Oh, you got to be kidding me. He took one back.
5-4 Yankees, and Hanley coming up.
What does he throw on 3-1? High, deep drive to center. Backing up Ellsbury, turning around. The Red Sox walk it off. Hanley Ramirez, and the Red Sox shock the Yankees. Tapping again. Hanley on some home run tear. There's number 26.
Three-run homer.
My goodness. He is about as hot as they get.
Maybe having the best season that anyone has ever had at the age of 40.
Fly ball right field. That's deep. Back it goes. Back it goes. It is gone. He strikes again. Number 35 for Big Poppy. Curt Schilling, the last Red Sox pitcher to win as many as 21. Jackie on his horse trying to run it down. He does on the warning track. And that's the ball game as Porcello goes all the way. And he picks up win number 21. The Sox have won five straight. Kiss it goodbye. Pedroia with a grand slam.
Here's a race for the plate. The throw is in time. And Pedroia trying to skate around him. He's safe. He's safe. The Red Sox have won 11 straight. There's Mookie Betts in the outfield with the outfielders showing off the Macarena today.
the Boston Red Sox have won the American League East.
This is one stop. There are three more to go. This team is prepared. You're tough. You're smart. And more than anything, you care for one another.
Final week of the regular season, Bill. It hasn't been great for the Rays this week. Playing non-division games is a little odd as well, but a tough weekend as they really, against the Red Sox on Sunday, 23 strikeouts over 10 innings, 21 of those strikeouts over 9, which was a record, and they also lost to James Shields on Monday, a former Ray. So it's been a tough go of it. How is the attitude in that clubhouse as this team kind of plays out these last four or five games?
I'd say it's still professional, you know, and there's a lot of young players in there that have a lot to be playing for, whether it's making an impression for next year or, you know, just getting, you know, the excitement of finally getting to play in the major leagues. So I do think that there's, you know, there's no quit in there, and you know, it's been a tough couple of weeks.
One of those guys that's continuing to be in his first year of action here is Blake Snell. He'll make his final start on Wednesday. If you look at Blake Snell and what he's done this year, Bill, you think a success overall, obviously a first time in the major leagues for a young pitcher is always a thing filled with adjustments. But do you think Snell has done well for himself so far this season?
Yeah, I do, and I've been impressed. You know, he seems to have you know, a pretty good heartbeat as far as, like, he doesn't get too rattled if something's going wrong. Probably the biggest thing that he's fought has been some control problems, and that's, you know, getting behind in counts, and then that's when he gets in trouble. But, you know, they say his secondary stuff is really good, and it gets even better when his fastballs, you know, when he's commanding his fastball. So I only look for him to get better, and he seems to have the attitude that he wants to get better, and he's, you know, he's trying to learn every time out. So I think a very positive year for him.
Yeah, and obviously he's a big part of this Rays team's future. Catching is an interesting spot still on this team. Kirk Casale had a big game on Tuesday, a homer, a double, a great slide as well, which you don't always think of from a catcher. I know next year the catcher position could go in a number of ways, but is Casale still very much an option for this team going forward?
Yeah, I think so, totally. I mean, I think they really like all three guys they have, Casale, Bobby Wilson, and Luke Maley. And Cash told us yesterday, you know, they go to camp with those three, you know, it'll be a competition and a battle, and hopefully one of them will step forward. I do think that you're not going to see them try the experiment they did this year when they brought in Hank Conger, looking to get a better, you know, more offense from the catching position. And the reason I say that is probably, you know, the biggest asset the Rays have always had has been their starting pitching. And Conger, though a popular guy in the clubhouse, and he looked like he had some offense to bring, though it didn't really show up for the Rays, had definite problems behind the plate. And I think that hurt the Rays' biggest asset, which is their starting pitching. And so I would be very surprised if they brought in a subpar defensive catcher again in the hopes of improving their offense.
Yeah, they're one of those teams where having the defensive catcher definitely outweighs the offense, although you'd love to get some pop.
Yep. And I should say all three of those guys that we're talking about, Wilson, Maley, and Casale, are all pretty good defensive catchers and have good rapport with the pitchers.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Alex Cobb. Last time we talked, Bill, we talked about how good he had been coming off Tommy John. Obviously, his first three starts, really solid. The last two, not so much. 4 1/3 total innings, he's given up 15 earned runs. What has the difference been between when Cobb first came up and then these last couple starts?
You know, it's kind of hard to pinpoint. The bottom line is that the Rays and Cobb needed him to get out and pitch this year. I think the results are almost a little bit irrelevant because it's obvious he's not totally as sharp as he is when he's, you know, in a good groove. And you got to remember, this guy's been pitching almost like 15 months trying to get back. So I think once he gets a good rest in the off season, and it's going to be a regular off season for him instead of a off season of rehabbing He reports of spring training. He builds himself up. I think we'll see the old out.
The Yankees cling to some playoff hopes, although I'm not sure they're really hoping anymore. A Yankee loss or Orioles win any point between now and Sunday would mean the Yankees are out of it. But there's still been some exciting moments in this season, and we got to start with Wednesday night. Mark Teixeira walk-off grand slam against the Red Sox, and the Yankees keep Boston from celebrating on their field. Now, the Red Sox still celebrated in the visitors' clubhouse, but it wasn't on the field in front of their fans, and just a special moment for Mark Teixeira in his final week of professional baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was less about keeping the Red Sox off their field, although, of course, that's a bonus, but more. The Yankees were just so happy to see Mark Teixeira come away with that moment. I didn't realize he had never hit a regular season walk-off home run before in his career. He had 409 home runs, and that was the first one that was a walk-off. Obviously, everybody remembers the walk-off against the Twins in the 2009 ALDS, but he had the longest streak, the most home runs without a regular season walk-off, and that's an amazing stat. And I asked Tex about it last night, and he knew immediately. He said, yeah, for some reason, I don't know, I've hit all my big home runs on the road, extra inning home runs, but I never seem to hit the walk-offs at home. Well, he's got one, and the ball landed in the bullpen. He was holding it at his locker, very happy about it. You know, if it turns out that that's his last home run, he's very happy with it being a walk-off grand slam to beat the Red Sox.
And I know he actually said that after the game. He said, man, I hope this is the last one. Now, obviously, he's going to go out over the next weekend and still try to hit some home runs. But certainly, if it is the last one, what a special way to do it. When you look at this Yankees team as a whole through the game, the other big lift they got was from Brian Mitchell. I mean, what an effort he put out on the mound against the Red Sox offense that is arguably the best in baseball. That's not the Brian Mitchell we've seen much of, but he was great on Wednesday.
No, very impressive. And what Joe Girardi was saying was this is the first time the Yankees saw that curveball that Mitchell showed in spring training, and he was dominant. He was lights out. I think that people probably forget just how good he was in spring training. He had a roster spot locked up. He was going to be on that team. I don't know how many starts he would have made, if he would have pitched in relief or whatnot, but he was going to be on that roster. And so you roll the clock back and you wonder what might have been. But now, Brian Mitchell, this was a very impressive outing, like you said, against the most potent offense in the majors right now. I mean, to keep the Red Sox in the ballpark, let alone blank them for seven innings, I think Brian Mitchell showed the Yankees something. And as a lot of people are thinking about next year and rolling the clock forward to next year, I think Brian Mitchell stated a case there. That's a game you can remember and point to and say, we think about that guy for being in the rotation or at least having a big spot on this team next year.
A lot of players, when they're getting close to the ends of their careers, will send a letter out to their home fans kind of saying, thank you for everything you did during my career. David Ortiz this week takes a different path, and he writes a letter to Yankee fans, and they post it around the city. Ortiz writing, the day you thought would never come is almost here. Let's make it one to remember. Let's do what we've always done. Let's show the world how much we love our cities and teams and how much we love this game. Let's make September 29th mean something. We share too much history to leave the field as enemies, but I'll always respect you as a rival. I thought that was pretty cool. Now, it may have been his marketing people that came up with the idea, but still kind of a neat thing. And when you think of Red Sox and the Yankees rivalry, until David Ortiz's arrival in the early 2000s, let's be honest, it was pretty one-sided, and I don't think there was ever a Red Sox player that Yankees fans felt that much, that much hatred for as an opposing player, because the Yankees always won in the series. So David Ortiz kind of has a unique position in this rivalry.
Yeah, I don't think too many Yankee fans are going to be shedding tears that they're going to see David Ortiz for the final time tonight, but yeah, no, there's got to be a grudging respect there. I think that Brian Cashman was talking on the field, and he said, this is a guy they never figured out how to get out. They could never figure out how to send him back to the dugout four times in a night. You know, obviously, you look at the career numbers against the Yankees, they are gaudy. He has been a thorn in the Yankee fans' side for many, many years. You go back to the really great years of the rivalry, 03, 04. I mean, you did not want to see David Ortiz at the plate, and I think you could talk to pretty much any Yankee pitcher. I know there's a few who had success against him. Mike Mussina comes to mind. But by and large, Yankee pitchers just never really could figure out what to do with David Ortiz. So I think you're seeing the end of an era here. I think most of those guys from when the rivalry was really, really good, and it's always been pretty good, but, I mean, that was otherworldly. To see 03, 04, those were two teams that did not like each other. They were very good. They went head-to-head every night. I mean, they were pretty evenly matched, so they had some great battles, and David Ortiz was right in the middle of that. So I think that Yankee fans, I don't expect them to give him a standing ovation and send him off lovingly tonight. But I think you got to applaud a little bit and just say you tip your cap, the same way the Red Sox fans did for Mariano Rivera, the way they did for Derek Jeter. They didn't love those players, but they respected them, and honestly, they were probably pretty happy to see them go, and I think there's going to be a lot of mixed feelings like that for Yankee fans tonight.
Gregor, the division life support, I guess, would be the term you'd use for the Blue Jays with the elimination number at one, but they lead the wild card. They take 3 of 4 from the Yankees, including a big walk-off win on Sunday and a tough loss on Monday, but it sets up a big, huge series against the Baltimore Orioles here that we'll get into. But I wanted to start with the Yankees series. They take 3 of 4, as I said. Sunday was a big one because obviously when you're in a tight situation with a wild card and you get into the late innings and you're able to pull one out in walk-off fashion, does a lot for a team down the stretch, and they did that.
Yeah, they did. They really went into that series needing to take 3 of 4, and obviously you'd prefer the four-game sweep, but it was still basically mission accomplished because what it does is coming into this week now sets up a scenario where if the Jays take 2 or 3 from Baltimore, they're sitting pretty, and they should be essentially guaranteed of a spot at that point in time. And they also should have a hammer on the home field advantage for the wild card as well. And so that probably still would have been the case even if they came away with a win on Monday. The goal all along has to be taking 2 out of 3 from Baltimore, and if they're able to do that, then they're sitting in a good spot. And if they lose 2 of 3 or if they get swept, then it's a completely different scenario. But they kind of control their own destiny at this point in time, and at this point in the season, that's really all you can ask for.
Now, Sunday's loss was tough for different reasons. One, they blow a lead in the ninth. That's never good. Bench is clear in the game. Josh Donaldson was hit early in the game, and then Chase Headley was hit of the Yankees, and then the bench is clear, and then everybody kind of calms down. But then Justin Smoke is hit, and they clear again. It was an ugly situation, and Joaquin Benoit and Devin Travis come out of it with minor injuries as well, which isn't what you want to see at all at this time of the year. Are those guys going to be fine?
Yeah, that's going to be the big question, and we're going to get an answer to that relatively soon, but that obviously shows the pitfalls of getting involved with what the Blue Jays got themselves involved with on Monday night. And look, everybody was at fault here. The Blue Jays were at fault. The Yankees were at fault. The umpires were at fault for not issuing warnings a little bit quicker than they did. But the fact of the matter is the Blue Jays really can't afford to involve themselves in any of those kind of things at this point in time, because what you fear is a couple of things. One is suspensions, first and foremost, and that doesn't seem like it's going to be a concern because things didn't escalate to the point where that seems to be a danger. But the other thing is injuries, and the Jays have two guys now who are pivotal members of this team who are a bit question mark now going into the final week of the season. If the Jays end up losing Joaquin Benoit long term, that is a huge, huge blow to that bullpen because there's not a lot of depth down there. And the Jays had really found something that they liked with Benoit, Gurley, and Osuna at the back end of that bullpen. Gurley's been struggling a little bit. Benoit has been lights out the entire time. And if you take him away from that equation, there's a lot of question marks there. Brett Cecil will have to step up. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with the rotation. I don't know if Aaron Sanchez will become a potential possibility down there. If it's not him, then it'll be whichever of Francisco Liriano or Marcus Stroman doesn't get picked for the rotation. And whatever person that is going to have to eat up some high leverage innings in the bullpen. And kind of just like that, the Blue Jays could be scrambling. So obviously they're going to hope that Benoit is a short-term thing. He's going to be back for the postseason. But at this point in time, it's really anyone's guess as to whether or not that's going to be the case.
You mentioned Gurley struggles, and that was the case again on Monday night. He allowed 4 runs. He's either been very good or he's really had some bad outings along the way, and Monday was one of those. So you'd like a little more consistency there from him. When you look at this series, let's get into this Orioles series a little bit, because when you look at it, you said it, 2 out of 3, and the Orioles and the Blue Jays are kind of home free in a sense. And when you look at the pitching matchups, they got to kind of like what they see. I mean, tonight it's Sanchez against Kevin Gausman. Both those guys have pitched great this season at times. Gausman's been really good lately, but I think the Blue Jays are confident with Sanchez on the hill. Wednesday kind of goes the other way with Chris Tillman going for the Orioles against Francisco Liriano. But then Thursday, you have Marcus Stroman against Ubaldo Jimenez. I think two of those three games, the Blue Jays have to be confident in the pitching matchup. And both these teams are always confident in their lineups.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, that's what separates these two teams right now is the starting pitching that the Jays get compared to what the Orioles typically get. I mean, the Orioles starting staff has done a good job this far in order to keep the team in games for the most part, and they've kind of turned things around a little bit in the second half. But still, you look at that team and you think of that as kind of their primary weakness, whereas the Jays, it's really their primary strength. And, you know, that's the case of this series. If these two teams ended up meeting in a wild card game next week, I think that would continue to be the case. I think that's actually kind of an ideal matchup for the Blue Jays. I'd much rather take my chances if I'm the Jays versus the Orioles in that one game scenario because of the pitching, as opposed to a team like the Tigers, who they could be matched up with again as well. So that's really going to be the interesting thing with this series. I mean, both teams are going to score runs. Obviously, the Jays pitching staff isn't going to be able to completely shut down this lineup, but they just need to do enough and then let the bats do their thing against a pitching staff that they should match up pretty well against.
I mentioned Liriano going against Tillman and the advantage there being to Baltimore, but Liriano did pitch really well against the Yankees in the last series, 6 scoreless innings. He struck out 6, allowed just 3 hits. That's a great start from a guy that Blue Jays brought in, not necessarily expecting to see that good a start from him down the stretch.
Yeah, and he's really looked great. I mean, 3 quality starts in a row, and he's just kind of looked electric. He's looked like the Francisco Liriano of old, and the stuff has always been there. The velocity has always been there. Obviously, this year in Pittsburgh, his big trouble was controlling a lot of that. But and we saw some of those issues in his first couple outings with the Blue Jays. But the last 3, he's really been able to kind of turn things around there. And that gives the Blue Jays a lot of options over this next week. I mean, Marcus Stroman as well has been pitching very, very well in the month of September. He doesn't have a wing to show for it, but it's been quality start after quality start. And so the original line of thinking is that you would have those two guys competing for the final rotation spot in the postseason. We'll have to see if there's any last-minute changes with that because of the Benoit injury. But when you're picking between those two guys, you can't really go wrong. You can kind of take a look at matchups and see what you like best. And then if there does need to be some sort of panic move where you do consider Sanchez going to the bullpen or something like that, you have another quality starting pitcher that's ready to step in into the fold. And that's something not a lot of teams have the luxury of having it at this time of year.
And we are in the final week of the season, Brittany, and things are fun across Major League Baseball, but maybe not any more fun than the American League wild card race. And things are certainly heating up, and the Orioles with a huge win on Wednesday night. So let's start right there, because this team was very close to suddenly finding themselves 2 games behind the Blue Jays, maybe even with the Tigers for that second wild card spot. Instead, Hyun-Soo Kim comes through with a huge 2-run homer, and the Orioles able to escape with a victory. First, talk about spirit-wise, how excited was this team? How big a lift did it give this team in that post-game clubhouse?
Oh, it was huge. And it's funny, Tim, how baseball works, because this was a guy that nobody wanted on the team coming out of spring training. They wanted to send him to the minor leagues. Now he's hitting home runs in a crucial spot in the postseason, race. So nobody was happier that it happened to a guy like him. And Tillman said it, and Mark Trumbo said it, and the big smile he had on his face as he crossed home plate. And he's been really consistent for them, very clutch, particularly as a pinch hitter. He's 6-for-9. And you mentioned it. It saved their season, essentially. Now, every game, obviously, is important from here on out, but they would have gone on this road trip a quick 0-2 hole. They would have been tied with the Tigers for the wild card. So certainly they kind of lived to fight another day with that lead.
Kim goes from, I mean, you remember spring training. He was pretty much 0 for spring training, and you said it. They wanted to send him down and all of that. And not only has he become, obviously, a big part of this team on the field, but he's become a real popular guy too, hasn't he?
Yeah, they had a T-shirt night for him on the last homestand. Yeah. So fans really like him. Everyone's kind of eating their crow over him, and they have been ever since he got booed a little bit here at Camden Yards on opening day. And he's really developed into a consistent and popular player for the Orioles.
Now, Chris Tillman pitched pretty well and obviously gets a no decision in the game. But I think the unsung hero maybe from Wednesday night is Brian Dunsing, who comes in a huge spot in the eighth inning. And there would have been no chance for Kim if the Blue Jays pile on runs there. Bases loaded, and Dunsing strikes out Melvin Upton Jr., a huge strikeout that maybe after the Kim homer kind of falls by the wayside as one of the bigger moments in that game.
Yeah, it does, but I'm glad you mentioned it because it wasn't really the guy you would have thought would have came in that situation. Buck wanted the lefty. They pinch hit, of course, with the righty was Melvin Upton, and Dunsing was able to come in and get the biggest out of the game. And you're right, the whole complexion of that game would have changed. So Kim was probably the hero, but Dunsing, you could make the case a very close second.
So on Thursday, it'll be Ubaldo Jimenez, who a few months ago, I think Orioles fans would have gone, oh no. But suddenly Jimenez is kind of Mr. Consistency for this team in the second half. Can you just kind of explain the transformation of him from kind of a guy that no one wanted to see on the mound to a guy that you kind of know what you're getting every time he goes out there?
I wish I could explain exactly what happened. I don't think anyone knows, yeah. But for Ubaldo, it all comes down to that command, fastball command, his mechanics. He seems to have kind of gone back to his old delivery a little bit. And I think for starting pitchers, it's a lot of confidence. He knows he's on a good run. He knows he can keep his team in the game. And they know it as well playing behind him. So I think that confidence kind of speaks volumes for him going forward. So hopefully he can get it done. Another big game for them again tonight.
So obviously a chance, or a pretty good chance, that this will be the matchup in the American League wild card game. That would be next Tuesday, and more than likely it would be in Toronto because the Blue Jays, besides having the lead on the Orioles right now, also hold the tiebreaker over the Orioles. So chances are that would be a home game for Toronto. Chris Tillman, though, lines up for that game for the Orioles. That has to make the Orioles feel good to have their ace ready to go in what will be the biggest game of the year.
Sure, but Aaron Sanchez lines up for Toronto.
Yep.
So that's a guy they haven't beat. They hit four home runs against him in one start and still didn't beat him. And in the other starts, he's held them to two or fewer. So it is nice for them knowing they have Tillman. They could also go Kevin Gausman if they wanted to. But when you look at it and you kind of looked at that game one in Toronto, you thought, they're going to see Aaron Sanchez again. He's a guy that's really been excellent. You can make the case if he wasn't shut down, could be in the Cy Young conversation. So that would be a tough wild card for the Orioles.